The scripture says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give to everyone that asks of you an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you with humility and with reverence. That's the point of the whole Bible Answer Man program, to give reasons for faith, answers to questions. We're going to have special guests with us in just a few minutes. We have two young people, Keith and Sean, who spent 5 years on the staff of Scientology, and they're going to be talking to us about the cult of Scientology, what it really is, what it means, what it can do to the lives of people, what it has done to many other people, and where Scientology goes off where biblical theology is concerned. We're going to be talking about that with them. We're going to have a great time going into the Word of God together. Perhaps you can think about questions for Keith and Sean. Now, you've been talking about Scientology a lot because of the death of L. Ron Hubbard, and people are interested in Scientology, a rapidly growing cult. We're going to have an opportunity to talk about that, so you'll be thinking about questions. If you're an ex-Scientologist, you're going to meet people here who know just where you're coming from. If you're a person that may be going into Scientology, wait a minute before you do, before you fill out that little application and answer all those personal questions. Be careful. You are heading right into the heart of a non-Christian cult. So we're going to talk about that, the cult of Scientology, and how Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, can deliver people from the cult of Scientology and from the kingdom of the cults as a whole. If you're out there and you have been approached by Scientologists to get audited, if you're out there and you've been given a little pink slip of paper which gives you a number of questions, if you've talked to people or heard about Scientology, if you've seen the big ads on TV for Dianetics, which is a new modern way of mental health, all of this is the cult of Scientology founded by the late L. Ron Hubbard. Back in the 1950s, I saw Dianetics when it first came off the press. I read it, and I said only a madman would believe this because this man is insane. And the psychiatrists and psychologists of the day agreed with me. It turned out that Hubbard had had considerable mental treatment and was himself a very sick man. But as a science fiction writer, he popularized Scientology, which was a religion derived from the book Dianetics. Now, the reason that he did it was to get the cloak of religion. He later, at the end of his life, said it was the biggest mistake that he ever made. He never should have gone into religion at all. He should have stayed with psychology, pop psychology, and with some of his esoteric occultic views. But he recognized it too late. The Church of Scientology had come into existence. Reader's Digest exposed the cult of Scientology in two blistering articles. And there are a number of publications. I believe recently Forbes magazine came out with an analysis that was devastating. Now, the fact is that Scientology is a non-Christian cult. We're not talking about Scientologists who are nice people, gentle people, sincere, dedicated, earnest people. We're not talking about that. Because there are people like this in all cultic structures. It won't save you. What saves you is whether or not you have come to a saving relationship to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, whether you've been spiritually reborn. And in Scientology, that is just the opposite of the truth. We have with us people who are well qualified to speak on this subject. They're writing a book entitled Escape from Scientology, in which I plan to write an introduction for if they'll let me do it. I think it's something very important. Welcome to our microphone, Keith and Sean Scott.
Welcome, Dr. Martin.
We're glad that you're here.
Thank you, Dr. Martin.
Now, you have a ministry called Cults Awareness Ministry, which is Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California. Anybody listening in right now who wants information on Scientology, how to get out of it, how to avoid getting into it, how to witness to people who are into it, write to Cults Awareness Ministry. Cults Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California. We'll give that address a little bit later on for those that are just tuning in. But the cult awareness ministry is something God has led you into. Keith and Sean, why don't you just share with us how you got into Scientology and what it's really like when you're in there. You were, as far as I'm able to tell, individuals who were pretty high in the organization, 5 years on staff in a major Scientology organization here in California. Go ahead and tell us about what really goes on.
Well, that's true, Dr. Martin. I was called the Hubbard Executive Secretary, in charge of hiring and firing and the raising of finances and the monthly magazine and all that at the Los Angeles organization. How I got into it, though, I have to go back quite a number of years. In my family, my mom was a Christian and my father was an atheist. So he was an atheist that believed in Scientology. So usually when Sunday would come around and we had to go to church, my dad would say, oh, that church is a bunch of hooey, and really what you should believe in is Scientology. And this, my mom and dad had a lot of fights about it. Well, being a boy and my father, I was impressionable to him. I remember at age 5 and 6 holding on to the E-meter cans and my dad asking me about past life situations.
Now, you have to stop for a second here because people listening don't understand this. What is an E-meter can? How do you get into this thing now?
Well, an E-meter is one of the religious devices, quote-unquote, that Scientology uses, and really all it is something like a lie detector. And you hold on to electrodes, which are nothing more than V8 juice cans with the paper taken off. That's how sophisticated it is. And as you...
Enormously revealing.
Yes. As you talk to your counselor while holding these cans, this E-meter needle moves and supposedly gives guidance to the counselor as to what area you should talk about.
The counselors are called auditors, is that right?
Yes, auditors. Okay. Well, my father had a big influence on my life, and though my mother and my grandmother were very strong Christians, I remember at the age of 8 being at an old missionary church down in Cleveland, Ohio, and that day the pastor asked for anyone who wanted to give their life to the Lord just to come forward. And at age 8, I remember just getting up and thinking, well, that's what I should do. I should give my life to the Lord. And I believe that the Lord honored that decision of mine. Even though I did stray, he kept his hand upon me and my life, and
Amen.
He was able to bring me out of Scientology. Well, shortly after graduating high school, I had experimented with drugs and just was pretty confused about what I should do with my life. And my father there again said, well, why don't you get really into Scientology? That should really straighten out your life and you'll know all about what you want to do. Well, so I flew to Los Angeles and joined something called the Sea Organization. And this, it's hard to explain to someone who doesn't know about Scientology because it's a whole sub-language, sub-culture. They've got so many things you could talk about.
This is very important for our listening audience to understand. Scientology is a subculture, a cultic subculture within our own. It has its own ethics, its own morality, its own language, which means that they, Scientologists, can talk and sound exactly like us, but their meanings are totally different. Would you say that that's accurate?
That's true, and also they can use words that will just go right by you, and they can have their own conversation. You wouldn't have any idea what they're talking about. None whatsoever.
Secret type of language.
Yeah, and this is one of the rules in Scientology is don't use Scientology terminology around people who aren't Scientologists because it will confuse them and make them not want to come into Scientology. So they make every effort to talk normal English when they're around people who are not Scientologists.
Doesn't this create a type of religious and psychological paranoia? I mean, if what kind of mentality is it that has to use a subcultural language in order to avoid? What are they afraid of?
Well, that's a good question, Dr. Martin. I believe Ron Hubbard started the paranoia throughout the whole organization. He was got to be the most paranoid person on the face of the earth, and as it turned out that Scientology is always afraid of someone finding out they're doing something. Just on the subject of paranoia, I have to relate this incident. While I was on staff one time, this was just prior to before it was public knowledge that Scientology had purchased the old Cedars-Sinai Hospital here in Los Angeles. That was hush, hush, no one could know. But
yeah, that's the one with the big cross on the front and so forth.
Painted blue,
right?
Yeah, the whole building. Well, I was on one of the I was on one of the project forces that was restoring this hospital into an office building, and they said it's absolutely top secret. No one can find out that this is going to be purchased by Scientology because then the IRS is going to jump on us, and the whole community will come down.
Why are they so frightened of the IRS?
I don't know. Maybe it's because, like you were mentioning earlier, it's supposedly a religious. And they get a lot of tax breaks as a result of that.
I believe they're afraid of the IRS because the IRS is on to the fact that they don't deserve the right to be a non-profit religious group.
And the IRS are they still classified as such?
To my knowledge. I read an article in the Forbes magazine that Ron Hubbard was about to be taken to court again when he suddenly died.
Yeah.
So.
But you think it's going to come to that where they are going to challenge their status?
Yes, I do. I really do.
Well, you were telling what happened anyhow with Cedars-Sinai purchase.
Well, this is a story about paranoia at its highest. Well, I was on one of the details where we were gathering up papers and things like that from surrounding
neighbors.
Use the
word details now. That sounds like a military term.
It's a very military organization, Scientology. Well, I was at this one lady's house. I was going through her garage and getting out newspapers with her permission. And she said, oh, are you working with the group over there at the new building? And I said, yeah. She goes, who bought that, by the way? I said, oh, Scientology bought it. And then on the way back to the organization, I'd realized I had committed a terrible sin against everyone in Scientology. I had spilled the beans to this poor older woman.
And you told the truth.
And I told the truth. Being a good person, as I thought, I went to my commanding officer and told him that I had said that Scientology was purchasing the building. Well, instantly I was put in solitary confinement.
Now, what does that literally mean?
Well, that means going to a place or a room where you're not in the you're not around other people. You're fed, and you can go to the washroom and things like that, but they want you away from everybody else. It's like you're a leper, pretty much the same way. You're not kept in a room with bars or anything like that. It means when you're expelled from Scientology, you can no longer buy books, get any training or processing, and you're going to be spiritually just dead because you cannot get back into Scientology. So I felt so bad that this was going to happen to me. I said, I'll do anything to keep myself in Scientology on staff. And they said, okay. And one of the real high muckety-mucks was there from Flag himself. He said, okay, if you do an amends project, that means, you know, extra work besides what you're normally doing. I had to do 400 hours of amends projects. That meant
to make up for what
to
you
make
had
up
done.
For the horrible thing I'd done. Then I had to circulate a petition to every person in the group of Scientologists there, asking their permission to be let back into their good graces, which I did. And I don't know how long it took me—a couple months. And I think I waxed every floor in the whole Cedar Sinai building by myself.
Sounds like Martin Luther, who said that he beat himself, starved himself, did everything possible to himself in order to obtain humility because he felt so proud. And then he said, I finally attained it, all to no end, because I was proud of my humility.
I don't know if I was proud after that, but I was back in the good graces of Scientology.
What does flag mean? You use the term flag.
Flag, I was always taught that it was a place where Ron Hubbard set up his headquarters.
The Supreme Commander.
Yes, that was where everything
happened. That
was happened. Flag.
Scientology prides itself on delivering the technology perfectly as it was written by L. Ron Hubbard. But every organization varies in how they apply that. Flag is the place where that technology is truly delivered perfectly.
In other words, quote, Sinai hot off the plates.
That's right.
That's where you get it.
Well, that if you just understand that story and look at it, I was a staff member at the time, and their paranoia is so bad that they inflicted that on one of their staff members just for saying to some older woman who obviously had no tie with the IRS or the CIA or anything.
But no concern for people.
No.
No concern for the soul or the life of the individual.
There's an important logic or datum, you can call it. The greatest good for the greatest number of dynamics in Scientology means that if you're doing something and 10 people get hurt but 20 people gain, then it's okay to hurt the 20 people because you're helping. You're hurting 10 people, but you're helping 20 people.
The end justifies the means.
Yes, that's true.
That's the philosophy. It's an old Jesuit philosophy, he just applied it himself to Scientology. Perhaps could you spell out for our listening audience what it was, Sean, that brought you to the Lord Jesus Christ and out of Scientology?
I'd been out of Scientology and had stopped believing around 1980, and I was working in a place. I had just had my little boy, and I was really becoming aware of the fact that I was responsible for his spiritual growth. I was not only responsible for my own, but for my son. I was working in a place where a Christian lady was working, and she and I became good friends. It had been about a year before I had become aware that I was starting to feel spiritually hungry again. I was having answers or questions that needed answers, and I started coming to my friend and asking her bits and pieces about the Bible and different philosophical things. And for everything she didn't have an answer for, she said, well, let me call my pastor and I'll see what she can tell me. And she would refer me wisely to the Bible. I had been saved at 16, but I wasn't discipled, didn't really know how to follow that. So I fell away, and I, like Keith, believed that the only reason I ever made it out of Scientology was because I'd promised myself to the Lord at 16. But little by little, I worked with my friend, Cheryl, and I started reading the Bible. And this time I didn't start with Genesis, I started with the book of John.
Amen.
And I knew I was reading truth. I was reading the truth. And it's kind of an amazing thing. When I felt that hunger and that tugging, it was like Jesus. It was someone pulling at my shoulder. And I asked her, I said, what is this nudge, this feeling that I have? Someone's pulling at my shoulder almost. She said, well, it's Jesus. You need to find out about it.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone will open, I will come in and dwell with them. You know, both of you have pointed out something which I want to point out to our listening audience. You know, in 2 Corinthians 11, the Apostle Paul said, I'm concerned about you Christians. As the serpent tricked Eve through his subtlety, your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. For if someone comes and preaches to you another Jesus, whom we have not preached, a different spirit than you have received, another gospel, you might go along with him. That's exactly what happened to you, Keith. You promised your life to Christ at the age of 8. You backslid as you grew older. Your mind was corrupted through your father's influence with Scientology. And the next thing you knew, you were right into the heart of a cult. And you, Sean, were in it, promised yourself to Christ when you were 16 years of age. And both of you are sitting here testifying to the truth of 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It is possible for the Christian's mind to be corrupted.
That's a very good point, Dr. Martin.
It is possible for the mind to be twisted away from the truth of the gospel. It's not talking about the loss of salvation. It's talking about the destruction of productivity.
Well, Scientology is one of those cults that appeals to the intellectual. It offers an answer for every question a person can have. Unfortunately, many of the answers were plagiarized from the Bible, and who knows what else.
Well, I think you could safely say that the truth that is in Scientology mm-hmm. is derived from biblical principle.
That's right.
The error was L. Ron Hubbard's twisting of it.
That's right.
That's what he did. You know, a friend of mine wrote him, who came out of Scientology, lives now in Las Vegas, came out of Scientology, had been there a number of years, knew him, and wrote to the great man at Flag and said, I can't buy it anymore, Ron. I have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. I passed out of death into life and wrote this beautiful 3 or 4 page testimony to Ron Hubbard, I think within the last 6 or 7 years, of his conversion to Christ and what it meant to him. And he couldn't follow Scientology anymore. Hubbard answered him, personal letter. And it was not a phony signature. It was his, he wrote, signed it Ron, as his friend. And he said to him, I read your letter with great interest. And then he said, and I can receive this. Now, whatever that meant to him, he didn't have an answer, you see. And Christ was an answer that, well, Hubbard himself one time said, don't let them think I'm a god. And that's exactly what they ended up making. They're trying to make him one right now mm-hmm. by publicity. Well, anyhow, we're here with Keith and Sean Scott, 5 years in the top levels of Scientology and delivered by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to go to our listening audience now. They want to talk to you, not to me. So I'm going to put you on with our listening audience. This is Tom in Modesto, California. Hi, Tom. You're on the air with Keith and Sean.
Hi. How you doing?
Great.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I have two short questions, and then I'll get off the phone because I want to hear your answer. Okay, at our laundromats all over town here, and I've seen them like on billboards, they have these personality tests that the Scientology puts out.
Yes.
Now, are these just to get you interested in the thing, or I just want to know what the purpose of those were. And also, earlier you were talking about how the Scientologists have their own language. I was just wondering if you could kind of give an example of what you meant by that, because I'm just not real sure what you're talking about. I'm a Christian. I'm not into Scientology or anything, but...
Thank God.
Well, my wife, she was at the laundromat, like I was telling you, where they have these, and she just threw them in the garbage. And so, I mean, is that a good thing to do? Or so I'm going to get off the phone now. I just want to hear your answer to that.
Okay, Tom.
Thank you.
The first thing I'd like to address is the personality test, because that's a real catchy thing that they've... I don't know where they got started on it, but they do it all over the place in Hollywood and all their organizations. It's just a simple test that tries to analyze if you're in a depressed mood, if you're anxiety-ridden, and it sort of shows what your personality is like. And what they do is they grade this test, and very scientifically they circle the area that you're low in. Maybe depression would show up, and they'd say, Tom, I see here that you're depressed. Is that true? You're depressed a lot? And you might say, yeah, I've been depressed. Well, Scientology can handle that. They get the test, they grade it, they sit down, they try to isolate your area of trouble or your area of weakness that you might be struggling with, and then they circle it and say, Scientology can help you handle that. And that's called your ruin of your life. That's the area that is most hindering you from functioning well.
Now, could you discuss also the meaning of the term engrams? Now, obviously, when you're taking this test and holding on to these tin cans, the E-meter, mm-hmm. you're giving off electrical impulses, mm-hmm. and the meter is moving. Now, they're interpreting this in terms of what Hubbard told them, and what they end up with is saying that there's something going on in your soul, something in your psyche. Now, can you explain what's going on and what an engram is?
Well, an engram is a moment of pain or unconsciousness that's recorded in your subconscious mind. And what Scientology believes is that all your follow-ups, all your problems, all your hang-ups are caused by these hidden things that happen to you and probably happen in a past life.
In other words, reincarnation is at the core of Scientology.
Absolutely. Ron Hubbard said if you don't go past track in your auditing or past lives, then you're not really getting at the root of what your problem is. You have to go back.
He absorbed this, of course, from Hinduism and from the cults that he was in.
One of the things I was making a note of, this is Tom wanted an example. Here would be an example. Scientologists would say, geez, I saw this raw meat guy at the laundromat, and he was really out of PT, and his TRs were really way out. I mean, now to a regular person, that was just a bunch of gibberish. Who knows what that means? Well, raw meat is someone who hasn't been indoctrinated in Scientology. That's one of our catchwords, one of the ex-catchwords. Out of PT means you're not in present time. That means you're in some dream world. Maybe you were drunk or maybe you were just thinking about something else. That's out of PT, out of present time. TRs means, it's very sophisticated. They're training routines. And if you're looking at something and you're overreacting, they could say your TRs were out or your training drills were not in place. So, I mean, as you can see, it's just deeper and deeper you go, the more complex their language is.
Can we come back in a second? This is fascinating. We want to continue with this, but we have a station break. I'll be back with you in just a moment on a subject of the cult of Scientology. On the Bible Answer Man program are Keith and Sean Scott, former Scientologists on a high level who dealt with Scientology and know exactly what it's all about. Our subject is the cult of Scientology. Now, we're using the term cult in the academic sense of the term. You can look it up in the dictionary. We're not using the term cult to portray Scientology as a Jim Jones thing with people drinking cyanide or taking poison. We're talking about it as a group of people who are gathered around the teachings of L. Ron Hubbard, who have raised him to a position of authority and accept his interpretations of the Bible and of every other area of life. That's what we're talking about when we use the term cultic personality and cultic theology. Yeah, something you want to say?
Yeah, an interesting comment I wanted to make is that when we got out of Scientology, we have had the darndest time trying to figure out how to talk to non-Scientologists. We were so fully indoctrinated into their lingo and their concepts. Even now, we'll run across a concept, Keith and I, where we'll want to say something, and we don't know the regular way to say it. And it's kind of frustrating trying to reacquaint ourselves with the normal English language.
Well, this comes about, I've learned this in my long years of dealing with occults, because of what the psychologists call an altered state of consciousness. What's happened to you is that you opened your minds to programming. You were programmed into a specific type of thought process, Hubbard's. You are carbon copies in that area of Hubbard's mind, which was a sick mind. You have absorbed this material. It's become part of your memory banks. And when you get questions or thoughts or something triggers from your programming, then it comes back to you immediately. It's part of the corrupted mind that we're talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Now, the cure for it is in Philippians chapter 4. Because in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says, whatever things are pure, whatever things are good, whatever things are virtuous, whatever things build you up, think, concentrate on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace can't be with a Scientologist. The God of peace can't be with a person whose mind is in constant ferment in the thinking processes of L. Ron Hubbard, you see. Now, Hubbard was an evil genius. Mm-hmm. In terms of having great capacities.
Exactly.
But Hubbard would never stand up for 15 minutes in a dialogue, never could stand up for 15 minutes in dialogue with anybody that could get him into biblical theology. That's the real hole in the dike of Scientology. They have made the mistake, and Hubbard saw it too late, of lifting up the cross, even though they patented it. Mm-hmm. They made the mistake of adopting Christian terminology. That's the real hole in the dike of Scientology. They have made the mistake, and Hubbard saw it too late, of lifting up the cross, even though they patented it. They made the mistake of adopting Christian terminology. Now, with that has come enormous responsibility. They're incapable of coping with. They have no Christian background. They have no credentials. They have no training. They know nothing about biblical theology, right?
That's right.
So how are they going to talk biblical theology? They can't. So they simply use it as a front and then program people into Hubbard's thinking, which leads you away from biblical theology. Now, you can come back in your mind from this altered state of consciousness by recognizing what it is. It's programming into another person's mind. All you have to say and keep saying is, consciously and unconsciously, I reject this, I reject this, I reject this. And it breaks it. Yeah. Scripture breaks it. And the Holy Spirit breaks it. And that's what happens to the cultist that comes out of a cult to Christ. Christ sets you free.
Amen.
And you know what I'm talking about better than I do, but for our listening audience, that's what happens. Would you say that's an accurate picture?
Yes.
Of what happens? The mind changes.
Mm-hmm.
And you're describing right now a person who in the old Korean vocabulary would be called brainwashed back in 1950.
I was going to make that
the
point.
Mind has changed, you see. Mm-hmm. And you've got to get back to reality. And that's a trademark of the kingdom of the cults.
We're often asked if we feel that Scientology brainwashed us, and we believe that we were brainwashed, and according to the books that we've read about brainwashing and techniques, one of the things that is most often used is the isolating method of a secret language, a language that only people, practitioners of that particular group know.
And only truth comes from the people that surround you.
That's right.
And it's them against us.
That's exactly right.
It's a siege mentality.
Dr. Martin, when we were in Scientology, we were encouraged not to read the newspaper. And if any article came out, like in a Reader's Digest against Scientology, we were almost ordered not to read it. It was forbidden. Do not read this. It is just going to corrupt and goof up your processing.
This is known as the Masada syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Remember the Jews that isolated themselves on top of that mountain?
Yeah.
They die rather than stop. They wouldn't listen. There was no reason. The Romans didn't want to kill them. I mean, they didn't want to stay around camped outside Masada to climb up that torturous snake path to get to the top to butcher men, women, and children. They were carrying out orders which meant quash a Jewish rebellion. All the Jewish leaders had to say was, okay, we are not going to resist anymore and come down from the mountain and go back to living in their country.
Mm-hmm.
But, no way, you see. They had developed a siege mentality, and it was, we're going to survive. We're going to live, and it's them against us, and no matter what happens, we're going to stick together. They ended up cutting each other's throats.
You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly the mentality of a Scientologist. Them against us.
I think so. And they think that they have something secret nobody else has. Well, look, I've got a call here that we've got to answer because this is a 6-year-old caller from Seattle, Washington, and we want to get to her. Hi, Sean. You're in Seattle, right?
Right.
What can I do for you, sweetie?
My name's Sean. I'm from Seattle.
Right.
How do we know that God is the only God and the true God?
How do we know that God alone is the true God and the only God, right?
Right.
Okay, well, first of all, God did something very unique. He did something that was very unusual, okay?
Okay.
God sent his son into the world. And then God said, "This is my son, Jesus. Now, watch him and listen to him, because when you see him do something, that's what I'm like. When you see Jesus heal, that's what I'm like. When you see Jesus teach about love and fellowship and friendship, that's what I'm like. If you want to learn about me, look at my son." So God did something nobody ever did. God sent his son into the world to live here. And if you want to know what God is like, you just read the New Testament and you find out what Jesus was like. Because Jesus was God living in human flesh, just like one of us. And he said, "If you don't believe me, that there's only one true God, then look at what I'm doing. I can heal the sick. I can cleanse men. I can cast out devils. And I can even raise the dead. And what's more, when I'm put to death, I'm going to come back from the dead and prove that I'm the Son of God." And that's exactly what he did. And that's what proves that Jesus Christ is God's Son and there's only one God. Nobody ever did what Jesus did. Does that help you?
Yeah.
Okay, Sean. Thanks for calling.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
The Lord bless you. Bye-bye. This is the Bible Answer Man, Walter Martin. If you want out from Scientology, if you want to talk to people that know what's really going on, then get in touch with Cult Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California. And they'll give you lots of information on Scientology, how to stay out of it, and how to get out of it if you're in it, and how to help people that are being influenced by it. That's a very important ministry. Cult Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California. Now, I want to ask a couple of questions. Talking about Scientology, what is the core of Scientology? What is it that attracts people to Scientology?
Well, Dr. Martin, I think the people that get into Scientology have some problem that they haven't been able to deal with. And surprisingly, when I was there, we noticed that so many people who were on staff and who were getting training and counseling came from Christian homes, came from Christian backgrounds. So for some reason, their philosophy, their belief was not helping them through this crisis that they were having. They weren't whole for some reason. And they chose, rather than to get with their pastor or some wise people in their church to help them see what the scriptures were saying about their situation, they chose to go to another thing, Scientology to try and get an answer to a problem they had.
In other words, people went into Scientology, in your experience, 5 years in there, because they didn't get answers to questions.
That's exactly right.
Well, of course, that's what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, to every man, an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you. And if you can't give that reason, you're fair game for the devil, or for anybody that comes along with something that sounds like, acts like, looks like Christianity. And that's how people get sucked into Scientology. What does Scientology have to say about sin?
Well, they call sin overt, an overt act. And there's rules and laws and policies against sin, but or overts, as they call it, but their understanding of what an overt is far different from a Christian's understanding.
Well, there's no idea of transgressing the law of God.
No. The only acknowledgement there is toward God is that He exists. There is this thing called the eighth dynamic, and the dynamics are all the different living realms that we experience, such as how one relates to oneself, how one relates to one's family, and on down the line. And
God is the eighth dynamic.
And He's the eighth, and He exists, and that's what you hear. That's all you hear.
It's interesting because Dr. Donald Gray Barnhouse, the great biblical scholar and my mentor, once pointed out that eight is the number of Satan, not the number of God. Seven is the number of perfection. Eight is the number of Satan, disorganization, counterfeit, the opposite of truth. And he developed quite an interesting theory on that. But it's quite interesting in Scientology, it's the eighth dynamic.
Dr. Martin, there's another thing talking about sin. Scientology, for the listeners, they believe that a man is basically good and not evil, as the scriptures point out. But it's also interesting, when you're in Scientology, they spend a tremendous amount of time security checking you frequently, which means...
Now let's roll the tape back a second.
Okay.
You said in Scientology they teach that man is basically good.
Correct.
Not even as the Bible says. Is that what you said?
The Bible says that we're basically evil.
Right. This is the opposite of what the Bible says.
Exactly right. But in Scientology, though they believe you're basically good, they spend a tremendous amount of time security checking its employees and their staff members, which is putting them on this e-meter, ask them, have you stolen this? Have you stolen that? Have you done this? Have you done that? And it's done frequently.
Confessional.
Mm-hmm. When I was the head of the Treasury Division, I had so many hours of security checking. You know, one of the reasons a person joins staff...
They didn't trust you.
Well, they make sure that I stay trustworthy. But one of the reasons a person joins the staff is because they can't afford the services as a public paying person. So you become a staff member, and the promise is you complete your contract, be that 2.5 years, 5 years, or the billion-year contract, and we will give you free counseling, free training, all the services that we offer for free. When you're a staff member, though, you don't have the time to get any real personal enhancement. You're too busy getting security checked and being trained to do your position better.
Well, that's fascinating. We're talking with Keith and with Sean Scott, who have a ministry of outreach to Scientology. Cults Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California. Hi, this is Walter Martin. Go ahead.
What's the main belief of these people that are into Scientology?
Well, the main beliefs would be, one, man is basically good. He's not evil. The reason that he's got all these problems is he has a reactive mind where all these moments of pain and unconsciousness are stored up over millions of lifetimes. And that's why people walk around in the bad shape that they are today. And that through Ron Hubbard was the only person in all of history that was able to put together this technique, this technology, to free people from their reactive minds. And that's their basic belief right there.
Scientology believes in the basic goodness of mankind, and that all our problems go back through many, many cycles of evolution, millions and millions and millions and millions of years. In fact, Hubbard traced it back to Venus at one particular time, if I'm correct.
What's the best thing to tell them? I'm a Christian, and the best thing to tell them, you know, about the Lord, to try to, you know, get them out of that, to witness to them.
Well, one thing I've found that's real interesting to do with a Scientologist is to take some of their pat phrases that, for instance, in recruitment posters, they use, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." What you do is you get out your Bible, and you show them where that phrase came from and who really spoke that truth. If you can get a Scientologist to even look into the Bible with you, that word will not come back void.
The key, of course, is this. Listen now very carefully, okay?
Right.
The key is to get them to look at the text of Scripture which they have quoted. In other words, they quote verses of Scripture. You understand?
Right.
Go to the verses of Scripture which they quote. Open your Bible, have them read it to you. While they're reading it, the Holy Spirit will speak to them and convince them of sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, the Bible is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. let them fall on the sword, and it'll go right straight through into their souls. Okay?
Okay.
God bless you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. And we have people with us who are experts in Scientology, Keith and Sean, who have Cult Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California, where they keep people out of Scientology, help people get out of Scientology, and want to inform you on the dangerous cult of Scientology.
Scientologists say cycles of revolution.
The cycles of evolution, meaning that you're different past lifetimes. They believe in reincarnation.
So you've lived before, all the way back to the planet Zemo.
Zemo?
Zemo, yeah. You never heard of that, did you?
No, I never have.
You never heard of engrams either, did you?
Engrams?
Yeah.
No, sir, I haven't.
Yeah, well, don't feel badly about it, because they don't exist. Only in the mind of L. Ron Hubbard, okay?
Okay. I have your book right here, Kingdom of the Cults.
Right.
How did this all get started?
Well, Scientology started with a book called Dianetics in 1950, written by L. Ron Hubbard, who was quoted at one time as saying that the best way to make $1 million was to start your own religion. He started his own religion. He made hundreds of millions of dollars. But what shall it profit a man if he gain the entire world and lose his soul?
Oh.
Nothing, you see. So he led a lot of people astray spiritually. I don't have any quarrel with Mr. Hubbard's right to voice his views, or the Church of Scientology to voice its views. I want the same right for myself under the Constitution. What I protest against is the Scientologists mimicking Christianity when they don't believe it. God bless you.
Thank you.
Hang in there. Go ahead, Everett. You're on the air with the Scots.
Okay. I had just two quick questions. First, the word WOG came up. W-O-G. It was called a WOG by some people in Scientology, and I want to know what that means. And second, what can we do as a Christian body collectively to witness to these people in Scientology? And how do we go about approaching these people and stressing to them that they need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord?
Well, WOG means worldly oriented gentleman, and basically what that means is anyone who's a non-Scientologist is a WOG. It's sort of an insulting way of referring to non-Scientologists. From
Gentiles, okay?
That's right.
You put it in the context of the Bible, be Gentiles.
Okay.
As far as striking a blow to the Scientology and getting organized the people who have gotten out, we're finding, since we've been talking on the radio, there are a lot of people who have been in Scientology that have found the Lord, so we thank the Lord for that. And I think that part of our ministry is to help get these people together and maybe talk about their experiences so they know what happened to them. And also we need to pray that the strongholds will be brought down and that the Scientology will be dealt a blow.
Right.
Expose it.
Now, if you want to deal with Scientologists, they can give you some hints on that, but the one I mentioned before is a very effective way. The Scientologists are forever using quotations from L. Ron Hubbard where he quotes the Bible, okay?
Okay.
Get them to read the quote from the Bible out of your Bible. And then say, look at this. Hubbard recognizes the authority of Jesus Christ. Why don't you recognize the authority of Jesus Christ? Jesus said you must be born again. And take him to John 3.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I'm talking with Kurt. Go ahead, Kurt.
Greetings to all of you. We have a little group of Scientologists that live on the apartment complex that we manage, and I'd like your guests, the Scots, to try to help me out a little bit on this. We've been doing some witnessing. We'd like to get some literature from them, but they mentioned a term called the bridge. She asked me if I was on the bridge. What is the bridge?
The bridge is their lineup of courses and counseling that enables you to become, quote, clear and on up through their levels of reaching spiritual perfection.
Yes, that would be like mist.
Yeah, what does the word clear mean? That's very important to Scientologists.
Well, clear is devoid of mental aberration based upon your past lifetimes and your current lifetime engrams.
So it's erasing the blackboard of your past reincarnations.
That's right. That's what clear is.
You understand what they're talking about now?
Sure do.
Now, that's what clear means, but this is important. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, takes away the sin of the world, right?
Right.
Ask them if L. Ron Hubbard can improve on Jesus Christ. I mean,
right.
Christ died and rose from the dead. Hubbard is incinerated.
That's right.
He never got up again.
Right.
Hey Kurt, I wanted to say another thing. You mentioned trying to witness these folks. If you're able to, try not to be antagonistic to their belief system, because they're trained to just put up a wall against anybody who's antagonistic to what they believe. So if you go in like on a, you know, soften your how you feel about their religion and just share the gospel, I think you'll do better.
Yes, that's very important. Also remember something else. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, Jesus Christ by himself purged our sins. You have that?
Yes.
If he purged our sins by himself, why do you need to go through clear experiences and reincarnations and auditing to get rid of what Jesus paid for?
Right, totally.
Can you improve on the blood of Christ?
Mm-hmm. No way.
Well, that's what I would point to them. Okay. In a loving manner. It's very important to speak lovingly. Okay?
Okay. One other thing, too. What do they teach their little children? They have a little child by the name of Sean, in fact, that is about 6 years old also. He's been going to school and stuff down in Southern California. They're frequently gone to training and stuff. So what could we share with them, with the little boy?
That's a little tough. They're teaching the little boy everything they're being taught. They have Scientology schools. One of their branches is Applied Scholastics. They have Scientology drug rehabilitation centers. It's called Narconon. One of the ways that you could perhaps witness to the little boy is to be a friend to him.
Yes.
And show him the love of the Lord Jesus.
Great,
and present to him the person of Christ. This is very important.
Great.
The person of Christ. He doesn't really understand this. And just very simply point out that God, who created everything in the world, loved us so much that he sent the Lord Jesus into the world to save us from our sins and from all the evil that was in the world. And then tell him about Jesus. And let the Holy Spirit deal with the child.
Do the work.
Yeah. Okay?
Praise God. Could you give the zip on that cult awareness, Dr.
Yes.
Martin, and I'll get off.
91016, the Cult Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California, 91016. Right in from all over the country if you're an ex-Scientologist. And give your fellow ex-Scientologists some support in your prayers. Right in if you're a Christian. Encourage them. Get in touch with them. Form a network. Start doing something to evangelize Scientologists. If you want their testimony, information from them, write in to them. And we also have a tape ourselves here at Christian Research Institute on Scientology. You just listened to it, and I didn't even ask you whether or not it would pass your standards, but I tried.
It's an excellent tape on Scientology. Very revealing.
Good. I hope that you get a hold of that tape also. But the address is Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California. Hi, this is David in Turlock, California. Go ahead.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hi, David.
I started getting into Vance's programs, and I really started listening to your tapes on Mormonism and stuff like that, and it's really great. But I had a question about, you said that you want to use their verses, and you want to take them out of the Bible and
No, no, this is what I said. Listen carefully.
Right.
When witnessing to a Scientologist, you notice that in their advertisements they quote Bible verses. Take those Bible verses, show them their own publication, and have them read out of the Bible the verse so they can see that Hubbard recognized Christ. The minute they do that, then start preaching Christ to them.
I was curious if you could give me some verses, because I don't have any information on which verses are what. Do you have any offhand?
Yes. One verse that's rampant on their recruitment poster is, many are called, but few are chosen. And that's encouraging a Scientologist to become a Sea Org member, which is the same as someone who signs up for their next billion years.
Okay, that's one. Many are called, few are chosen. Secondly, you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Okay, John 8:32.
Okay.
All right?
Great. Thanks a lot.
Right. God bless you.
Yeah, you too.
Bye-bye. This is the Bible Answer Man, Walter Martin, answering your questions across America on satellite. We've had as our special guests Sean and Keith Scott, and they are operating the Cults Awareness Ministry. I'm going to give you their name again and the address, and I want you to write in because we're going to terminate this interview now. Cults Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California, 91016. That's Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California, 91016. Write in to the Cults Awareness Ministry and get information on Scientology. They're also writing a book. I believe it'll be a best-selling book entitled Escape from Scientology. Thanks so much, Keith and Sean, for being on our program. Will you come back again sometime?
Yes, thank you for having us, Dr. Martin.
Our pleasure, Dr. Martin.
Thanks again. Bible Answer Man program specializes in giving people reasons for faith. answers to questions, and confronting the great issues and challenges to Christianity today. You have an opportunity to participate in the Bible Answer Man ministry through your prayers and through your generous contributions. If you believe in this ministry, write me this week, The Bible Answer Man, Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California. We're running behind in our radio bills. We need your help to stay on the air to answer your questions. So if you want to help us really do the job and answer questions and want your questions to be answered, I need to hear from you. Write me, if you will, this week, The Bible Answer Man, Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California, or Walter Martin, Box 500, San Juan Capistrano, California. Whatever you can give, believe me, will be greatly appreciated, and we'll praise and thank God for all the blessings which He has bestowed upon us. The address, once more, of the Scotts Ministry, Cults Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California, 91016. Cults Awareness Ministry, Post Office Box 1671, Monrovia, California, 91016. If you want information on Scientology, how to stay out of it, how to get out of it, to learn the inside of Scientology so that you'll be able to witness to people who are in it, then make it a point to contact Cults Awareness Ministry.